they've actually had a couple articles. The best one out of the UK looked at delay in diagnosis of cancer care, and they predicted that there'd be 3,000 excess deaths in the next 3 to 5 years related to a delay, and they just predicted a delay of 3 months. And so if we actually locally had a delay of 6 months, it would probably be much more than that. But that's an excess of 3,000 deaths in the UK.
That was Dr. Noah Taylor, a radiation oncologist at Evansville Cancer Center and Deaconess Hospital. Dr. Taylor has been at Deaconess for 8 years and has plenty of good information about his experiences and the current pandemic.
Yeah, so cancer screening has been significantly important over the past 20 to 30 years. Most common cancer screenings are mammograms in women for breast cancer and colorectal screening for men and women.
If they don't seek help, obviously the worst scenario is that the person could die because they, maybe they've had a really large laceration and it's infected and they don't know it and they don't seek help. They could become septic, which is an infection of the bloodstream, and die because they don't seek medical attention because they're not really aware that they should. That's an example, where people are not going into the doctor's office because they're fearful or they can't. The doctor's offices aren't allowing it. That would be one example where it could just really go south.
That was registered nurse Dana Eiler from the St. Louis area. CDC.gov recommends people at a high risk of getting cancer get screened regularly. Dr. Taylor shares a very real personal story similar to the hypothetical Dana gave us.
I would just give you an anecdote of a patient that we have. A patient actually came from Las Vegas who this gentleman, it wasn't a screening, but he actually had a cough and shortness of breath and weight loss and was a high-risk patient for lung cancer. And then in March 2020, he sought medical care but was unable to get into any doctor's office. And actually spent about 3 months, trying to get in or trying to get a CT scan that he thought he needed, and it's also his primary physician thought he needed in Las Vegas. Eventually was frustrated and came to Evansville where he had family, and by July finally had workup and imaging and was found that he had lung cancer but was at stage 3. And so he had a 4-month delay in diagnosis, and we started his treatment, but then quickly progressed to stage 4, which is a little unusual during treatment to progress so quickly. And the thought process, that we are thinking is in that 4-month delay that he probably was stage 2 at the time of initial diagnosis, where his cure rate would be more like 75%, and eventually became advanced stage 3. By the time we can treat him, and then eventually stage 4, where his, 1-year survival is only 50%.
Also, a personal story Dana shares about her non-professional experiences with COVID.
I have a parent in the hospital now. The staff looks exhausted to me. They're working a lot of shifts, long shifts. There are people that are out for whatever reason, and somebody has to pick up that slack. And so, I think that's true anywhere.
Are you able to see that family member in the hospital?
Yeah, she can have one visitor every 24 hours. So I can go and visit between 11 and 7 every day, but if I leave, I can't come back until the next day. So it again, is very isolating, where only one person can come and visit per day. So if you have one family member come, then no friends can come, and vice versa. You can't even have two family members come.
So do you see that affecting how the whole family feels?
Yeah. I think, if it were at holiday time and, like my kids are all in college now, if they were all home and someone wanted to go see my mother in the hospital, only one of us could go a day. So we would have to pick and choose who gets to go, who could go, who will go today, which under normal circumstances wouldn't be the case. Somebody could go and visit for a couple hours and someone else could come in a little while later, and you're just not allowed to do that.
Virtual therapy has been convenient for the majority of the population, but it has several downfalls. Dana Eiler speaks her opinion about virtual therapy in elders.
We've even sent folks to physical therapy, and because of COVID, either they've been exposed or they're fearful of being exposed, or they've had it and they have to, you know, stay out of the clinic for a couple of weeks. They're doing virtual therapy, which is not very helpful. I'm sure these folks aren't doing everything they should be doing to try to recover when they're trying to do their own physical therapy from home. So, I mean, it's just all the way around. COVID has made things much, much harder.
Dr. Taylor mentions his opinions about in-person visits.
Most physician offices actually are quite safe. We've been lucky in our office that we've had only one patient with a known diagnosis of COVID, and that was way back in March. But since then, there's been no staff and no patients, you know, in the building that actually have known coronavirus in the oncology department. And so I think the risk to a patient for standard medical procedures is fairly low, because of all places, actually, in healthcare offices, the staff and other patients are very aware of social distancing and of hand washing and keeping things clean. Surfaces are wiped down. So if you're going to go anywhere, then a physician office probably would be one of the safest places to go to for not catching the virus.
We all know this virus has affected us all in many ways, some with our mental health. Nurse Eiler and Dr. Taylor speak about the mental health aspect in regards to elderly during this time.
And a lot of the other elderly, they're isolating themselves, which is fine, but the problem is they're isolating themselves from their family, and they're also scared to notify their family if they're having any symptoms, because either the family's not around, so the family themselves don't notice that there's a change, because the family's not visiting or not allowed to visit their elderly family members, or the patients themselves are kind of scared to even report symptoms. And so it's going to be an issue for the elderly over time. And also the elderly are the most vulnerable towards social isolation. So we're actually asking the elderly to be socially isolated. But that's, there's a lot of depression and other issues in elderly when they're not being social, and not just in a nursing home, but just even at home.
I think a lot of elderly people have isolated themselves. They have missed out on a lot of family functions and, just in general. Maybe they used to go out to lunch with their friends, or maybe they were involved in some type of group or some activity, but they stopped doing it as a result of COVID. So, they begin to self-isolate, and that often leads to depression. People get pretty depressed if they live alone and they have no socialization. It can be, pretty isolating and depressing. And then maybe they become so depressed that they don't take care of themselves as well as they should. They lay in bed and sleep a lot longer, and they don't, get out and get fresh air, and they don't eat right. And they, maybe they were normally going out for lunch. That was their really good meal a day to a senior center or something, and they don't do that anymore. So they don't eat well. Maybe they forget to take their medication. It becomes so isolating that I think often they, lose track of the day of the week. They just are out of touch. And I think it's quite depressing for folks that have missed weddings or birthdays or events or, different family things, friends things. It's just a dismal situation for them. They don't have any outlet.
Even though there have been many negatives in 2020, there are a few positives that come from this pandemic. Here's Dr. Taylor with his bright side.
Yeah, I think so. I think there has to be something good that comes out of this pandemic. And I think the couple things, a few things. One is that within the hospital itself, I think, it's always good to review these type of protocols for how to mobilize the staff and how to respond to, emergency public health situations. And I think hospitals were a little bit lost back in March in how to do this. But locally at Deaconess Hospital, they've actually done a remarkable job in mobilizing the staff and how to do this and how to respond. So if there's ever a future public health emergency, I think we're much more prepared for that in general. But things that'll stick around, I think that healthcare workers may be wearing masks long term. At some point, the mask policy is not going to be present in every, inside of every building, obviously. But I think within the healthcare environment, you may see healthcare workers permanently wearing masks and much more attuned to transmission of disease from healthcare workers to patients. We used to do, and it was a big resistance, we used to do, require that healthcare workers have the flu shot for the sole reason of not transmitting that to patients. But that was a simple thing that was always done. But things like masks and hand washing and hand sanitizer stations everywhere, that'll probably continue. And I actually envision something where healthcare workers will always have masks the rest of their lives.
We asked Nurse Dana Eiler what she thinks would better our situation as a whole in regards to the virus. Here's what she had to say.
A vaccine. I mean, without us getting a vaccine, we're not getting rid of COVID. We're not even going to see a massive decline in COVID until that happens, which I think is at least 9 months to a year off. I don't think anybody's anxious to get a quick, fast-tracked vaccine. There's lots of issues. There's four or five manufacturers that are working on them now, and they've had complications with patients in the trials. And I don't necessarily think that would be something I would want to step up and take right now. So I think that there needs to be a lot more research so they're safe. And then I think people will be much more likely to take them, and then we can begin to start trying to rid the virus.